This week's Parsha, Parshas Kisavai, we learn the various different klolos and brachos, the curses and the blessings in Parshas Kisavai. And we have one of the fundamental psukim, which to me is one of the most important and fundamental ideas in Torah Shabbat Peh, as we will understand and see in the coming hour. But before we start learning today, today's sheet is dedicated to Ilui Nishmoso Shel Moras Miriam Baser Moshe David, the mother of our dear friend Reb Binyamin,
Benny Binyamin,
and also the mother-in-law Etel Baser Kasliel Tuvia. Both your sites are in the coming days. Actually, Yud Beis Elul and Yud Dalet Elul. They should both be Melitzi Yosha for the entire family. You should only know Nachas and Simcha from the entire family, and we should share B'seidus Tovus Tomi. Various different sources in my Svarim, I spoke about a fundamental concept of Rotzon HaTorah. So besides Taryag Mitzvahs, which are split into two fundamental categories, Mitzvot Aseh and Mitzvot Lo Taseh, and many shiurim I've given throughout the years deal with the different definitions of Mitzvahs, but beyond the Mitzvahs, there is a general concept and rule, Oror Asher LaYokim Es Divrei HaTorah Aseis. And in Minchas Asher, Masechet Psochim, and different sources of my Sforim, I dealt with a very fundamental question. What is the chiyuv to buy a lulav before Yom Tov, to purchase matzah before Yom Tov? And what if a person didn't build a sukkah? Come sukkahs by night, he has no sukkah. Is that a bitul mitzvah asay? What is the chiyuv and the obligation of a person to in advance see to it that he has all that is needed to perform mitzvah Hashem? So this is a machlokes between the Tzlach and the Minchas Chinuch, but I made my opinion clear. One cannot be mevatla mitzvah before the time of the mitzvah comes. So the chiyuv of sukkah is b'tzei sekechov m'leil alef shel chag. The person looks around, I have no sukkah. Right here and now I'm an oynes zechmona patrei. Would it be defined as a mevatel mitzvah to say, well, you could have built a sukkah, you should have built a sukkah, like all good Jews do. But right here and now, I terribly regret I didn't build the sukkah. Is he a mevatel mitzvah to say? So my feeling is that the chiyuv to do everything within your power to be able to perform the mitzvahs when their proper time comes is part of the geder hakloli of Rotzon Hashem. That is Rotzon HaTorah. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants you to put on tefillin, that means you need to do everything within your power to achieve tefillin to be able to mekayim the mitzvah. And the same with tzitzis, and the same with matzah, and with moror, and with sukkah, and with lulav, and all the other mitzvahs. And the question arises, so how much money does one have to spend and how much effort does he have to exert in the performance of mitzvahs? Many times I mentioned Klal Samaches of the Chayodom, first section of the Chayodom. Klal Samaches is very unique. And it is a klal which the Chayodom compiled and brought together many different concepts and many different halachas. Klolei hazehiris b'mitzvahs, various different klolim in the performance of mitzvahs. And as if you test, the Chayodom writes, that a person has to spend in the performance of a mitzvah oiveres a tenth of his money, up to a fifth. Not clear in the Chayodom. Is it 10% or 20%? Is it a tenth or a fifth? He writes, Isor ad Chaymish. In another source, Simen Chof Aleph in Chayodom, he writes, Chaymish. And that is the opinion of many Achroinim. Starting off with the Bachan Simen Tov Reish Nun Vav, Prima Godem and Hilchos Chanukah Tov Reish Ayin Aleph. As I mentioned, the Chayodom, the Bialocha, Simen Tov Reish Nun Vav. Person has to spend 10%, maybe even 20% in the performance of mitzvahs. The source of this sugya is in Bava Kama Daf Tes. The Gemara brings a b'raisa. B'mitzvahs ad shlish. Three words. B'mitzvahs ad shlish. And the Gemara asks, what does that mean? In the performance of mitzvahs till a third. Does it mean that a person has to spend a third of all his monies to perform one mitzvah? And the Gemara says, unreasonable. Because then, if three mitzvahs come up one after the other, that means he no longer has any money left. Cannot be. So the Gemara says, the interpretation of this braisa is, when you purchase a chefetz of the mitzvah, whether it's an esrog or a lulav or a sukkah or whatever it may be, you have to add on an additional third on top of the normal price to be mahadar b'mitzvah, to have a beautiful esrog, to have a sukkah with all the chumras, to have tzitzis that are also beautiful and also halachically valid. So you have to add on a third on top of the original expenses. That is what Chazal mean by mitzvah shlish. Tosfos and the Rosh on the spot write that from this Gemara we could prove that a person is not obliged to spend all his money in the performance of one mitzvah. And that is why the Gemara says, how could it be a third of all his monies? So what is he supposed to do tomorrow if today he needs to buy three different mitzvahs? How much? Yes, neither Tosfos nor the Rosh don't say. But they both quote the Gemara in Sukkah Mem Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says that Rabban Gamliel bore an esrog be'elef zuz. And the Gemara says, Kama mitzvahs chavivim al Yisrael. So both Tosfos and both the Rosh says this Gemara proves that he wasn't mechuyev, he wasn't obliged to spend 1,000 zuz for an esrog. And why not? So we see that a person doesn't have to spend that much money in the performance of a single mitzvah. But neither Tosfos nor the Rosh don't say, so how much does he have to spend? The Rama, Simen Tov Reish Nun Vav, Shulchan Aruch HaChaim, Lagabe Yesrog and Lulav, the Rama says, Ein Odom Chayav Lebazbez Hon Rav Ala Mitzvahs. You don't have to spend a lot of money on mitzvahs. And we ask the same fundamental question, how much does he have to spend? Neither Tosfos, nor the Rosh, nor the Rama don't relate to that question. The Rama says, Ein Odom Chayav Lebazbez Hon Rav Ala Mitzvahs. So many Achroinim are more specific, and they say 10% or 20%. Iso Nechosav, or Chaimish Nechosav. And I wonder, so wouldn't we ask the same question? Ilu Isramale Chomesh Mitzvahs. So if I have to spend and buy 5 mitzvahs, so he stays with nothing? That is exactly the same question the Gemara asked when there was a Habimina that a person has to spend a shlish. Why would there be a difference between a shlish and a chomesh? Why would there be a difference between a shlish and 10%? Why would there be a difference? We do find in a totally different area the source of this sugya. How much money does a person have to spend to perform a mitzvah is in Bava Kama Daf Tes. But there's another sugya which deals with Hilchos Tzedakah, and that is in Ksubis Daf Nun. Hamabazbez al yevazbez yoisim achoymish beusha et kinu. That was one of the tekonas of the Beis Din that sat in Usha. One of the tachanot of the Beis Nagodl was in Usha. But Usha hitkinu, amabazmez, alivazmez, yisim achoymish. So it is in Hilchos Tzedakah that Chazal do speak about numbers. And Chazal say a person should not spend more than 20% on tzedakah. how much is he obliged to spend? That Gemara seems to say he should not spend more than 20%. Doesn't mean that he's mechuyev to spend 20%. This same mamar is in Yerushalmi, the beginning of Masechet Peah. The formulation in Yerushalmi is slightly different, maybe significantly different. In a positive formulation, not in a negative one. So in Bavli we learn, Al Yevazvez Yosef Mechaymish. In Yerushalmi we learn, Shiyahei Odom Mafresh Chaymish Menachosav Lemitzvahs. And I saw various Gedolim arguing that the Yerushalmi and Bavli have another Machlokes. It is not only whether a person has to spend 20% or he shall not spend more than 20%. The Yerushalmi speaks about mitzvahs. The Bavli speaks about tzedakah. But that is a mistake. That is a mistake which is bred by lack of familiarity with the Yerushalmi. In the entirety of the Yerushalmi, when the Yerushalmi speaks about mitzvahs, the kavon is tzedakah, in many different sources, which there's no point in quoting right now. So, the Achronim learned mitzvahs from tzedakah. So the Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav in Or HaChaim quotes the Ben Yerucham. And Ben Yerucham is the only one of the Rishonim that does say, how much does a person have to spend on tzedakah? And he says, 10%. Why 10%? Ma'aser k'sofim. It's interesting to note, the concept of ma'aser k'sofim is nowhere to be found in Bavli. It is only Tosfos and Tanis Daf Tes that brings it from Medrash. No source in Bavli. But the Medrash says, just like a person has to give away 10% of the produce of his field, the yield of his field, 10% goes for Miser. The same, what is earnings, what is profits from business? 10% has to be given for Tzedakah, for Aniyim. So the Ben Yerucham says, person has to spend 10% of his money to perform a mitzvah. And the Beis Yosef writes, quoting Rabbi Yeruchim, "V'lo yudati minayin lo." Eliyahu Rabbah, one of the more important Achronim in Shulchan Aruch HaChaim, Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav, wonders, why does the Beis Yosef say, "V'lo yudati minayin lo"? Obviously, the Beis Yosef didn't realize that one line later, Rabbi Yeruchim does say, what's his source? His source is Ma'aser k'sofim. So why does the Beis Yosef say, "V'lo yudati minayin lo"? So the Eliyahu Rabbah writes, the Beis Yosef obviously didn't see the continuation of Rabbi Yeruchim, and therefore he paskins, person has to spend 10%. So some Achronim say 10%, some Achronim say 20%, the only one of the Rishonim dealing with this question of Rabbi Yeruchim, and he says 10%. And the Mishnah Berurah is an understanding of the Beis Yosef is that Rabbi Yeruchim says 10%, and the Beis Yosef says, Lo yudati minayin lo, why 10% and not 20%? But when we learn and examine carefully the lashon of the Beis Yosef now, and b'mechila mekvoy terosa of the Eliyahu Rabbah, I'm not going against the Eliyahu Rabbah, I'm just standing up for the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef didn't read the Eliyahu Rabbah. Nobody more than the Beis Yosef is medaktik b'lashonis ha-rishonim. That's what the Beis Yosef is all about. He brings the rishonim quoting their lashon. So when the Beis Yosef says, Lo yadati minayin loy, he was fully aware that the source is tzedakah. You gotta be dumb not to understand that the source is tzedakah. If somebody says you need to spend 10% for the performance of a mitzvah, what could the source be? Ma'aser k'sofim, of course it's tzedakah. The Beis Yosef was fully aware of what Rabbeinu Yerucham writes. But the Beis Yosef rejects the dimyan, and he says, Lo yadati minayin loy. And therefore, my humble opinion, I know what I say now seems to be fantastic, but to me it's a pashtus. It's a pashtus. And I don't know how all the achronim say a person has to spend the chomish. I think it goes against the Gemara. The Gemara in Bava Kama, the Gemara says, how could we be machayev a person to spend 33%? A third of his belongings and money is for one mitzvah. So what happens after three mitzvahs? And now you ask, according to the Kohenim, what will happen after five mitzvahs? What will happen after 10 mitzvahs? When we speak about Maisa, or a Chomesh for Tzedakah, it is setting aside 10 or 20% for all the tzedakahs you will give throughout the year. But in the sugya of mitzvahs, it is for a specific mitzvah, mitzvah iveris. How could it be the same? So when we say a person has to give Maisa or even a Chomesh tzedakah, we cannot ask, what will happen? Five mitzvahs. It is all included in that 10 or 20%. So what will happen next year? If you don't have profits, you don't have to give. You need to give 10% or 20% only from profit, not from capital. You need to give once from what you earn, and then 10 or 20% of profits. So if we will come to say mitzvahs and tzedakah have the same halacha, it's outrageous. It's insane. Which will mean that if I have no profits, don't have to buy tefillin, no tzitzis, no tefillin, no matzah, no sukkah, no lulav, just like tzedakah. If you don't have any profit, you're potter, you don't need to give ma'isi, you don't need to give chaymish. You need to give a chotzi shekel every year. That's the halacha in Yeradeya. So, if a mitzvah is similar to tzedakah, we will need to say that you need to set aside 10% for all your mitzvahs, which would mean 90% for chayei sho and 10% for chayei oilam. Does that make sense? A Jew needs to give 10% for all his mitzvahs. We're here to serve a Kodesh Baruch. 10% for your tefillin and your tzitzis and your sukkah and your Talmud Torah and everything. And 90% for what? For living it up? Does that make sense? And if we won't have any profits, I don't buy any tefillin and I don't buy tzitzis and I don't buy matzah. So how could we possibly learn mitzvahs from tzedakah? On one hand, by mitzvahs, you need to spend as much as you need to spend. I mean, are your tefillin and your tzitzis and your matzah and your sukkah less important than your summer vacation or your bike for your children or your food? Or what is life all about? But the discussion in Tosfos and the Rashban and Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav, how much money does one have to spend for one specific mitzvah, for a mitzvah iveris? Rabbein Yeruchim says 10%. And the Bessi Yosef says, Menayin lo, how could we say 10%? 10% by tzedukas for all your tzedukas combined. But how could we say 10% for one mitzvah? So the Bessi Yosef is actually a mekel and a machmir. On one hand, for all the mitzvahs throughout the year, of course you need to spend far more than 10%, far more than 20%. You need to spend as much as it takes, as much as it costs. But for one specific mitzvah, 10% is far too much. 20% is impossible. That is exactly what the Gemara asks. If three mitzvahs come up, so is an oni ve'evyoin, the same question would be asked, five mitzvahs or 10 mitzvahs. So in my opinion, and I always say this, we need to learn the Rishonim and Poskim Lefi Pashtus and Yonam. And if the Tosfos and the Rosh just say how much he does not have to spend, and they don't care to say how much does he have to spend, because we cannot say that. And when the Ramo writes, Eino dem chayev lebas bez hoin rav is a relative concept. You need to buy and pay for every mitzvah a reasonable price. Market price. So, person out of Sukkos realizes when he's oige de lulav, he binds the lulav together, that his arava is possible. He runs out to the shuk dalad minim, and the last vendor packing up, mekapel tziud, he rolls over to the young boy there, do you still have an arava? The boy looks around and he senses, this is my opportunity. This is once in a lifetime opportunity. And he says, yes, I have a kosher rova. What's the price? He says, 10,000 shekel. Well, the guy has a dilemma. He looks around. Nobody else around. So does he have to pay 10,000 shekel for an rova? Does he have to pay 1,000 shekel for another? An hour ago, 24 or 5 shekel. So does he have to pay 1,000 shekel? No, that's Hoinra. So does he have to pay 1,000 shekel to build a sukkah? Yes, because 1,000 shekel for a sukkah is not a lot of money. 1,000 shekel for an arava is outrageous. And that is exactly what the Ramo means. Ein odem chayav lebazbez hoin rav ala mitzvahs. Hoin rav is a relative concept. And what is the logic of this din? I think it's a very simple and pure logic. Extremely simple. And you need to understand modern economics to understand the principle. So I said, how much money does a person have to spend for mitzvahs? As much as it takes. As much as it costs. Neither 10 nor 20%, probably far more. If you combine all the mitzvahs and avoid the Hashem throughout the year, you need to pay as much as it takes. But the reason the Gemara says, Amavazvaz Aliyavazvaz Yoysim Achoymish, the Rashba brings in the name of the Ravitch, Shemu Yeni V'yipol Alatzibur, and maybe he's going to come poor of Oni Choshev Kemeis. So how much does a person have to spend on his mitzvahs? The reasonable price. Because we know that prices will always be reasonable. That is the law of economics. It all depends on supply and demand. And if mitzvahs will become too expensive and people won't be able to afford it, then competition will bring the price down. And that is the reality of life. Most people could afford mitzvahs because people want to sell. And if there are no buyers, there will be no sellers. And supply and demand, those are the laws of economics, and there will always be competition. And if prices will be too expensive, then others will offer better deals. And therefore, for thousands of years, we've been buying tefillin and tzitzis and matzah and morah and sukkah and lulav. And that is why the Ramo says, "Ein odam chayev lebazbez hoin rav ala mitzvahs." And hoin rav is a relative concept. You need to spend as much as it takes, reasonable price, market price. That is what you need to pay.
Because we're worried that the price will get driven up, and then nobody will be able to buy, or
that, because that is the pure logic of the halacha. It is not a takona. It is not a takona because we're worried. It's a svara and not a takona. And that is the nature of the argument. It's impossible that a person has to pay every price for one single mitzvah, because then it isn't reasonable that a person has to become a beggar to perform his mitzvahs. So what would he do a day after tomorrow? He won't have money to buy any mitzvahs. So that's a svara and not even a takona. But the basis of the svara is, yes, it's reasonable. Yes. That is a different sugi, but in that sugi we also see that Chachmi Yisrael intervened to bring prices down when people took advantage of the Yashlis and Tzidkis and Bnei Yisrael that knew that they're going to buy karbonis for any price. So,
how does Hidur fit, relate to this?
Yes. So Rabbi Gamliel spent 1,000 zuz to buy an esek. And it's obvious in the Gemara wasn't a chiyuv. And that is why Chazal exalted Rabbi Gamliel. Was that more than a chaymish? Was it less than a chaymish? So that is an argument to the Echroini, because Rabbi Gamliel was a Nosi. So obviously, probably he was rich. So probably 1,000 zuz was less than a chaymish of what he possessed. So that was definitely a midas chasidus and the finimish was a din. So regarding tzedukah, we find we do not find that regarding mitzvahs. Regarding mitzvahs, ein odam chayav lebazbez hoin rav, but he's entitled to do so. So the reasoning why by Tzedukah Chazal say Hamavazu is Ali Avazu is Yoisa Machoinish, as I mentioned before, the Rashba Bavakama Daftes quotes in the name of the Ravid, Shelo Yepol Al Tzibur V'Oni Choshev Kameis, which seems to be a combination of two different motives. One is Shelo Yepol Al Tzibur. That means Chazal care about community money. We don't want another family that needs to be supported. But on the other hand, we also worried about the individual. Oni choshev kemeis. Poverty is a terrible thing in the eyes of Chazal. And therefore Chazal say one should not spend more than 20% on tzedakah. My argument is mitzvahs is a different category. In the combination of all your mitzvahs, probably you'll spend more than 20%. And why not? Chai Olam is more important than Chai Shoh. It's not reasonable that 10% goes for Ikar, 90% goes for the Tofa. However, on one mitzvah, person should definitely not spend. How much yes? We cannot say how much yes. You need to spend the normal market price, as much as it is. So to buy a sukkah, 1,000 shekel is reasonable. To buy an arava, it's not reasonable. For Yeshuv Etz Yisrael, probably $50,000 is a reasonable price. So every mitzvah has a price. That is the nature of things. And it depends on many factors. And a person has to buy tzorcha mitzvah, chepsi the mitzvah, whatever it takes. And spending on mitzvahs, to me, it's a pashtus, of course. 10% can be the limit. 20% shouldn't be the limit. You need to buy mitzvahs, whatever price it is, as long as it's a reasonable price. And that is the general concept of hoin rav. And if the Ramo didn't say how much percentage-wise, neither did Tosis, neither did the Rashba, then we need to understand why. And that is the kavon of the Bis Yosef, when he brings the Ben Yerucham says 10%, v'lo yedati menayin lo. Not the havon of the Mishnah Brura, why only 10%, maybe more than 10%, maybe 20%, no. Seems to be clear in Bis Yosef. Bis Yosef says, why would the Ben Yerucham be the only one of the Rishonim that would say how much a person has to spend? Lo yedati menayin lo. In no way is it dumi in the tzedukah. Because by tzedukah, 10% is what you set aside for all your tzedukahs throughout the year. And year number two and number three, only if you have profit, 10% if you're profit. It would be totally insane to apply the same rule to mitzvahs. That would mean that a year that I have no profit, no mitzvahs, no matzah, no morah, no sukkah, no lulav, no kiddush, no abdullah. That is insane. That cannot be. And therefore mitzvahs and tzedakahs, two different concepts. On all your mitzvahs throughout the year, there is no limit. The limit is reasonability. You need to pay the normal price, the market price for each and every mitzvah, as much as it takes. Because we're here to do mitzvahs. It's more important than any other expenditure that you might encounter. But when the Rishonim deal, how much does a person ask to spend on a mitzvah? They're speaking about one mitzvah oiveres. So how could we say 10%? How could we say 20%? That is exactly what the Gemara and Bava Kama rejects. How much yes? Market price, reasonable price. And that is the kavana of the Ramo when he says, Ein ha'odam chayav lebazbes hoin rav al mitzvahs. Kach nera la'anius dait. Which brings us to question number two, Baha Talia, in a way. So the Chai Odom, Sif Yutes in Klal Samaches, the very same Sif that I started today's shiur with. He writes, Haim Tzorach Odom Lavar Mebeisoi, Lamokrem Achar Tzorach Iyun. And in Nishmas Odom, Sif Kotan Alev, he explains, does a person have to move away from his house for a Shabbos, for instance, to perform a mitzvah? So the Nishmas Odom argues, no, he does not. That is too much effort, too much terch. How does he prove that? From a sugya in Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So in 2 weeks' time, it's Rosh Hashanah. So we have somewhat of a Rosh Hashanah, the Kasugi, and Yonah the Yoyma. The Gemara deals with the question, Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. A person could choose to go right or left. In a town to his right, they blow shofar, but they don't have a minyan. So we will miss the brochas of Malchus, Zechoyin, and Shofar. town to his left, they have a minion. So there's going to be Chazos HaShatz, Malchi Zechon HaShofar. But they don't have a Shofar. So what's more important, Tkiya Shofar without Malchi Zechon HaShofar, or the Brochas without Shofar? And the Gemara says he should choose to hear Shofar even though he's going to miss the Brochas. So the Chayodim asks, so either all the people living in this town have to go left to that town, or all the people living in that town have to go right to the other town. So if a person has to leave his home and spend a Shabbos or a Yom Tov in another place to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, how could this dilemma possibly occur? So how come there's one town that only has a Shofar and they don't say the Brochas, and another town that has the Brochas, they don't have a Shofar? Why don't we decide either all the people from here go there or from there come here? This proves a person doesn't have to leave his home. And I wonder, so why does this individual asking the question have to decide to go either here or there? Why can't he just stay home?
Oh, it's walking distance.
Like there, staying home, where would he go? So we would have to say, well, it's walking distance. He could go, but he can't make them both at the same time. Maybe. But I would say, well, the question the Gemara is dealing with is a very specific question. What is more important? Do I have to go here or there? We're not dealing with the question, why don't the people from here go there or the people from there go here? There could be 1,000 reasons. Maybe there's no one to accommodate them. Maybe some of them have a little baby at home and they can't go. And their neighbors have an old father who's 90 years old and they can't go because he needs ventilation. Or there could be 1,000 reasons. And maybe there aren't machnisa yorchem. That is not the question the Gemara deals with. That is a fact of life. In one city, in one town, they have shofar. The other town, they have malchi zechron shofar. So I don't think that could be a raya. I think it would be more raya. Why do we say he has to go either here or there? Why can't he stay at home? So we would need to differentiate that the question would only be if it's a walking distance. But the Chayodim doesn't even go into details. Does it matter whether he has to stay over the night or not stay over the night? The only source the Chayodim quotes is Kuf Samech Gimel Shulchan Aruch HaChaim. That is Hilchos Netilas Yadayim. So, how far does a person have to walk for Netilas Yadayim L'Seuda? And the Gemara says, if it's in the same direction that he's walking anyway, it's Dalad Mil. If he has to go back in the opposite direction, it's one mil. And in the Poskim, there's a major discussion. If he's not going anywhere, he's just sitting at home. So how far does he have to go to get water for Netilas Yadayim? Would that be Dalad Mil or one mil? Yes, that is a discussion in Aloch. And it's actually three different sources in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tzadik Beis. We find a similar discussion in Tilas Adayim Litfila, Kuf Samach Gimel is in Tilas Adayim Suda, and then we find a similar discussion in Kuf Pei Dalet Berchus HaMozayim. If a person forgot to bench and say Berchus HaMozayim and he left his home, how far does he have to go back to the place where he ate to say Berchus HaMozayim there? So we find three different sources, and I have a general feeling, why don't we find similar discussions elsewhere? For instance, the question of the Chayodim. Because dealing with money, we could speak about numbers, percentage points. Maisa, Chaimish, 10%, 20%. Dealing with effort, it's very hard to define effort. So when we're dealing, how far does one have to go? It's relatively simple. Once again, we're dealing with numbers. Mil, parsa, alpayimame, yud beis mil. So as long as we have numbers, we could define how far does one have to go. But to me, it would go without saying, depends what type of going. if you need to go uphill, if you're somewhere in the Alps or in the Rockies or in the Golan, well, Dalet Mil going uphill is far more difficult than 10 mil b'mishor, or going downhill. So I would guess we need to translate is not the right word. And Chazal deal, how much time does it take to walk a mil? And that is in the Sugya of Bein Hashmoshes. So if we say Dalet Mil, I would say it is the time that it takes to walk Dalet Mil. If you walk uphill, probably it would be less. So regarding the question of the Chayodom, does he need to leave his home? How could one answer such a question? It depends how much difficulty is to leave your home. How far is that other place? How much will it take to get there? And how much of misnefesh, what type of accommodations will you have there? So how could one answer a question, does a person have to leave his home and go elsewhere to be Makayim and Mitzvah? Sometimes it's relatively comfortable and easy and pleasant to leave your home. You go to your parents' home, you go visit. They have a huge house and they're so happy to accommodate. I go there every other week anyway. So I would say, of course, you need to leave your home and move into your parents that are eager to accept you. But if you need to be on the street and put up a tent in the middle of the winter, probably we would say a person is not mechuyev. So it is very difficult to define in different areas what is the gvul of tercha that a person has to be toneach. How would we define tercha? How could one define ogmas nefesh? How could one define difficulty? So we do find poiskim the deal with how much money do you need to spend. Because once again, going back to money, we could speak about chaymesh, iso, dealing. The only sources we find in aloha, how much effort a person needs to make to perform a mitzvah is only how far you need to go. And those are the three different sources. Regarding the question, do you need to leave your home? It's a big pele in my eyes. It's a sif mefosh and shechanoch, which the chayodim doesn't bring. And that is in Simen Tov, Reish, Pei, Hei. Tov, Reish, Pei, Hei, Siv, Zayin, the shechanoch says, Kriyas ha-toyre b'parsha zocha, u'b'parsha spora, yesh oimrim shumen ha-toyre. U'lefichoch, if a person lives in a town in which there is no minyan, he needs to leave for Shabbos and go over to another place where there is a minyan to hear Kriyas Parsha Zocha and Parsha Zpora. So this is a Sif Mefosh and Shulchan Aruch, that a person does have to leave his home and spend the Shabbos elsewhere to hear Parsha Zocha and even Parsha Zpora. So why doesn't the Chayodim bring this Sif? This is Sif Mefosh. The sugya in Rosh Hashanah, Lani Yisdati, you can't prove anything because Chazal aren't dealing with the question. Chazal don't deal with the question, why don't these go there and why don't those come here? That is a fact. There are two towns and two cities. One has shofar without brochas and the other has brochas without shofar. However, this is a sif mefosh. And nevertheless, I would say this. You know you don't have a minyan where you live. Today it is extremely uncommon, but once it was commonplace. Jews lived echod be'ir, shnayim ha'mishpocha. Sometimes Jews lived in a little town where they were all alone, and all the others were goyim surrounding them. So you know you don't have a minyan, and you know exactly when Shabbos Ocha is. Plan it in advance. You know. And therefore, yes, you need to plan it in advance and do something and find some friends or family and make it and go over there. But that doesn't mean, if ahead of Sukkot, my lulav got broken and there's nobody in town that has a lulav, that I need to leave my house and look for some place ahead of Sukkot afternoon to stay. So, as I said before, Shulchan Aruch deals with Parsha Zocha and Parsha Zpora. It is not coincidental. You know in advance. You live in a place there is no minyan. Plan it out. You need to hear Parsha Zocha. We wouldn't say the same under all circumstances. So if it is something that was unexpected, I would say, no, a person is not mechuyev to pack up and just leave and burden some family somewhere else. In Hilchos Sukkah, there's a halacha. If your light went out the middle of the Suda, Sukkos, you do not need to go to the Sukkah of a neighbor. And the reason is, lo na'im lo la'adam lechol mishel acherim. It's unpleasant to knock on the door of a neighbor, he's in the middle of the Suda, he didn't plan to receive you. And so a person, the Sukkos, doesn't have to knock on the door and go into the Sukkah of his neighbor, and would he have to move to another city and look for somebody that will be willing to accept him? So I don't think one could answer the question of the Chayodim, because it depends on 1,000 different factors. So we do find the Beferesh Hasif in Shechem Aruch that a person does have to move to another town to perform a mitzvah. But my understanding would be that is because, yes, it's a Zman Kavua. You knew that in advance. And if a person doesn't have where to go, then he doesn't have where to go. Then he's potter. He definitely doesn't have to be on the street all night with his family and children. But the Mechava says, you need to make an effort. You knew that in advance. You don't have a minyan where you live. And these two Shabbosim, there's a Kriya D'Oraisa, so you need to go somewhere else. And therefore, we do not find this as a major discussion in Achroinim, only in the Nishma Sodom, and the Nishma Sodom doesn't quote the only Sif in Shulchan Aruch, which is L'Choyer Araya Mefureshes. And nevertheless, I would say, person doesn't have to uproot his family. And maybe in the case the Chayodim deals with, I would say, once again, you don't have a minyan. Where you live, there is neither shofar nor brochas, so you need to try to plan it out in advance. And if you can't go very far, and your options are only either here or there, that is the question of the Gemara. What is more important? So I would say, even if it's not walking distance, yes. If he knew that in advance, he needs to leave his house. Because Kia Shofar is a Kuli Alma D'Oraisa. Parsha Zocher, Yesh Oymerim Shuhu Min HaTorah. So if you need to leave your house for Parsha Zohar and stay a Shabbos with others, you need to do the same for Tekiah Shofar. So this is briefly a very fundamental discussion about Hoitzos Mamoin and Terches Aguf, how much, what is the extent that a person has to be Toreach and to spend for Kiyama Mitzvahs. And all this is basically about Rotzon Hashem, how much effort does a person need to make and how much money does a person need to spend in the performance of mitzvahs. I apologize, but I need to be a bit precise today because I still have another Harbotzes Torah engagement tonight, which is out of town. But I do want to share a thought with you that is also relevant to Elul and to this week's parsha. Va'avadetem begoyim. The Torah says in the Torah Chacham. And a Marcus Daf Chovdana the Gemara says, Omer Rav, mistapine mahaikro. I am terrified by this posset, va'avadetem begoyim. At the end of days, we will be lost. And Rav Papa, a disciple of Rav, consoles him and comforts him. And he says, v'dilme ka'aveda ha-mizbakeshes. We will be lost, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come looking for us. A Jew is never lost. Ki lo yidach mimeni nidach. V'dilma ka'aveda ha-mizbakeshes. So the Shemesh Shmuel brings from his great father, the Avnei Nezer, why don't we need to wear tefillin on Shabbos? So the Avnei Nezer said that a Yid always needs to have two simonim. One simon is Bris Kodesh, Ois Bris Kodesh, which is with us all our lives. The other simon, Shabbos, which is an Ois, and Tefillin is an Ois. There's no need for three simonim. And therefore, middle of the week we have Tefillin, Shabbos we have Shabbos. So Shabbos there's no need for Tefillin. Why two simonim? An Aveda is retrieved by one simon. Rabbeinu Bachya, actually from the Rishonim, says the same idea, but he speaks about Shnei Eidim. And the way he presents it, Shabbos is like an aid, Bris Kodesh is an aid, and Tefillin is an aid. Well, the Avnei Nezer seems to be closer because these are not Eidim. But by Simonim, there's no concept of Shnei Simonim. There is a concept of Shnei Eidim. But actually, there is a concept of Shnei Simonim. Because in Bava Metziach of Zion, the Gemara has a suffix with a Simonim Dioraisa or the Rabbonim. The Gemara says Simen Muvak is Dioraisa. The Poskim say Shnei Simonim Beinoniim are as good as one Simen Muvak. So we're not sure that our Simonim are Simonim Muvakim. Ois B'Skoidish needs to be safeguarded. And that is Midas HaYesoid. So when we have Machsheves Aveira, that's Pogea in Ois B'Skoidish. And if your Shabbos isn't as it really should be, then maybe it's not a Simen Muvak. And Tefillin, there's so many Alochas in Tefillin. There's an Issur of Hisach Hadas. And the B'Shesu brings from the Makabolim, what a great Aveira it is to have Hirhure Aveira when you're wearing Tefillin. So we cannot be confident that our Simonim are Simonim Muvakim, but Shnei Simonim Beinoniim are as good as one Simen Muvak. And maybe that is why we need two Simonim. So the Papa says, yes, we will be lost. Va'avadetem begoyim. But our great Rebbe, Rav, Kodesh Baruch will come looking for us. And we have Simonim. We do have Simonim. As long as we have Ois B'Skoidish, and as long as we observe Shabbos, and we put on Tefillin, Kodesh Baruch will find us. And I say, even if Chas V'Sholom, we won't have Simonim. But the Ramban says in Malchames and Bava Metzia Daf Chovav, Yesh Lo Mahana B'Dova Shebershusoi. Even if it's an Aveda Shein Bo Siman, an Aveda Shein Bo Siman, there's Jewish Balib. But the Ramban says, when a person isn't aware that something is in his own private domain, and he was misyayish, the yish means nothing. If it's in his lishus, yish has no effect. We're always in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's lishus. You can't escape it. Emesok shemayim shamato v'atziya she'oil hineko. Wherever we go, Kodesh Baruch Hu is with us. And even when we think he's far away, and HaKadosh Baruch was never misyayish. Kilo yudach mimenu nidach, kilo yach poitz v'moysames ki yim b'shuvoy medayko v'choy. So Rav says, I'm terrified by this posik v'avadata megoyim, and Rav Papa says, we might be lost, but HaKadosh Baruch will come looking for us. And when a Kodesh Baruch Hu looks, he finds. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu never says, it's too late. Kodesh Baruch Hu will come looking for us. And Elul, he comes to check on us. Elul, he comes looking for us. Elul and Rosh Hashanah and Aser Sinai Tshuva. So let's try to be obvious. Let's try to stand out. Let's try to keep our simonim. Our Shabbos and our Tefillin and our Ois B'Skoidish, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come looking and he should find us. So Yiratzu, we should all be Zoche together with Kol Beis Yisrael. V'Ksiv V'Chasim Etoy V'Besifon Shal Tzadikim Gemurim. We should have a Shnas Geula V'Yeshua, Shnas Oiro, Shnas Brocha, Shnas Gila, V'Shnas Ditzo. We should share V'Soyos Toivos. Ad Bias Moshiach Tzedkeinu B'Meiru.